Wake up, wake up. Now, today should be easy to wake up because Brock Purdy is him. Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Well, how about a little Victory Tuesday for a change? Welcome to Wake Up, Damon Bruce, Larry Krueger, streaming on both of our channels, and it's fantastic to have you here. It is Christmas week, and you got an early present under the tree from the 49ers offense last night, a shootout in Indianapolis. Larry, we got an awful lot to talk about today. We should have a room full of very happy 49ers fans. They are two steps away from a one seed. And when you look at this offense, boy, it looks like that could happen. When you look at the defense, there's always a little something to worry about. But man, what a fun one last night. That game was on tilt. It was a pinball game, man. That was something else.
You know, the winner was probably ESPN because it really was a wildly entertaining game that had a great subplot of Philip Rivers. I thought Rivers delivered on the national stage, you know. He played well. The 49ers, though, played better. And the real story was we were talking about the wrong quarterback. You know, we're talking about Philip Rivers, and really Brock Purdy dominated one of the best performances I've ever seen from Brock Purdy. And I was saying it last week going into the game that I think Brock Purdy's playing at a crazy high level right now. He wasn't just the highest graded player on either side of the ball last night. He was, you know, the highest graded quarterback in the league this year. He was absolutely spectacular in this game. I mean, Brock Purdy's stats at halftime, he was 12 of 16 for 151 yards, Damon, with three touchdown passes, no picks, and a 145.8 rating. He was dominating. But Jeff Deeney from PFF put this out. He said, not only was Purdy's PFF grade 96.6 last night, a career high for him, it was the highest grade of any quarterback in a game this season in the NFL. What we saw last night was a clinic of clinics, and it was what I think is a precursor to what we are going to see in the playoffs, which is that, Damon, you were there in training camp. You saw Brock Purdy and how great he looked. And then everything went squirrely and sideways with the turf toe. And then we were told, you know what? It's not going to get better this year. And I just thought we were going to get a diminished player that was a little bit worse each week. And instead, it looks like we have a player that's gotten beyond the turf toe, if he even had it. And now it looks like he's getting better each week. Totally counter to what I was told we were going to see, counter to what modern medicine said turf toe was going to, that experience was going to be like. Then it makes me go back to Brock Purdy's thoughts of, hey, it's a variation of turf toe. So maybe it wasn't even really truly fully turf toe. We don't know, but all we know is that Brock Purdy in December looks very much like the guy that you and I saw in July and August in training camp. And that is great news for the Niners and bad news for the rest of the NFL. I think Brock Purdy is going to go on an unbelievable run here. He's in what we call, Damon, the super prime. So he's like in that 25 to 27 range when it's like whatever you're going to do in your professional life, you're likely to do it right now. And I feel great this morning about the Niners, about Purdy, about their ability to run the table and get that sixth Lombardi. Obviously, we're putting the cart way before the horse.
Yeah.
Niners, Bears, Niners, Seahawks, playoffs to come. But all I would say is bring it on. I think all 49er fans feel that way this morning.
You got to feel confident. There's no doubt about it. Since Brock Purdy shook off the rust of the injury, and look, we were very critical of him coming out and playing poorly in his first game back. The second time back around, we thought he got rushed and he was missing throws high. I'm sure he'd like to have that one back that turned into his only interception of the night at the end of the night. That was a little bit high, a little bit on Bourne too. But look, the 49ers haven't punted in the month of December. You know, you are not allowed to complain about any aspect of offensive football when you have not punted in the month for the very first time. The 49ers have not punted in consecutive games in the Super Bowl era. So it's really, really something else what they're doing offensively right now. We can only hope that George Kittle's injury last night isn't something that lingers, because you want to talk about connection. You know, you want to talk about kismet. You want to talk about two guys on the same page. What Purdy and Kittle are doing together has been extraordinary, really. And, you know, not to inject some negativity into a very positive opening moment here, why isn't Brandon Ayuk playing for this football team? Why is Brandon Ayuk walking away from what I'm looking at and this offense right now? That is just bad advice and stupid living all the way around. What a game for the 49ers, who are now 4-0 in prime time. Their 55 wins on Monday Night Football ties the Steelers for most all time. Feels like they're just, you know, volleying that fake crown back and forth to each other every single time they play a Monday Night Football. They've beaten the Rams, the Falcons, the Panthers, and now the Colts. They're going to get the Bears on Sunday Night Football. Hopefully they go to 5-0 in prime time. And Larry, that Seattle game has got flexed to Sunday Night Football written all over it right now. So the spotlight is on. The portion of the season where the 49ers are sort of living under the radar, that's over now. The attention is going to come. And maybe with a game like that, some of the biggest Purdy doubters out there, I don't know if they're ever going to take their medicine and learn, but I can hope that they shut up for just a week. I mean, Brock is playing shut your mouth level football to his critics. He has been a whiz on third down. He is getting in and out of every single right play. And this offensive line is coming together in a way I didn't think it would. And that was reflected in how well Christian McCaffrey ran the ball last night. I think it's one of his best yards carried before first contact of the season last night. And I think he had one of his longest runs of the season last night. It is really starting to come together. So it's a great time to be a 49er fan. Like and subscribe to both these channels. Larry, I'm like 400 subs away from 50,000. Your audience could do that during this show. 400 Krug show audience could just hit boop, subscribe, and we could be at 50,000 by the end of the show. And wouldn't that be a great Christmas present? By the way,
wow, dude, that's a milestone, man. That is big. That is big. Congratulations to you, man. I know you've been grinding. I know you've been working. I know you've been slaving over this thing. I mean, let's just say this. I mean, you know, for everybody out there who's thinking about this, because, you know, you probably, the more you progress and the more you grow, you're probably getting the kids and that I'm getting, hey, you know, how do you do this? And, you know, how do I follow in your footsteps? And how do I, and all I would say is, you know, You better be willing to grind. You know,
you better be willing to really grind,
like really, really, really grind.
Last week was like a bloodbath in radio once again. You had networks coming out with new lineups. I had like 4 or 5 people reaching out to me. Larry, you probably did too. Your DMs on Twitter with guys who had shows, who now need shows. How did you do it? How did you do it? And that is the advice. Just start. And don't stop. Be unrelenting in your online presence. And that's the way you get it going. By the way, speaking of unrelenting, we're about to have an unrelenting amount of time in the kitchen spent preparing holiday meals and leftovers.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I thought of you yesterday. I went to Lenardi's. I got myself a big prime rib, and I'm going to try it for the first time. I mean, I've never made prime rib in my entire life, and I'm going to try to do it, and I need instructions.
Larry, now, it's honestly about 18 minutes a pound is what you should set. Are you doing it in the oven or the grill? If you do it in the
that's the question. I mean, I have a grill, but it's a charcoal grill, and then, of course, I've got the oven. I don't have a smoker, and what I did was I didn't go – I went with the boneless and not the bone-in this time. I know a lot of people
It's all right. You can't really eat the bone. The bone adding flavor is sort of a myth. You know, there's a little something to it, but we're not going to worry about it.
A lot of the processes of people cutting the bones off and then tying the bones together. Yeah. and like slicing it and kind of tying it all together. And that looks awesome. I just decided I was go boneless this time, try to make it a little bit easier on myself this time.
Give me a call later this afternoon. I'll talk you through your prime rib cookery. I don't think the entire audience needs to know about it right now, but
I've heard that it's an extensive kind of, and you better do it right. And I might have to go hunt for the right thermometer today.
Oh, you do need a digital thermometer. You need to temp this bad boy because you don't want to overdo it. Well, call me later and we'll talk. Right. I'll talk you through it. But here's a little good advice from Uncles Larry and Damon right now. We got you covered from a food standpoint today, a day where nobody wants to cook because you got so much cooking coming up. Head to Ike Sandwiches for a sandwich today. You'll be very, very happy that you did. You got a lot of family in town here in San Francisco. Bring them to the Dubliner West Portal for a properly poured Guinness. Enjoy a little sports on TV, a little camaraderie with the common folk. These aren't tech bros. These are the San Francisco normals out in West Portal. It's the side of the city that Larry is from. So there you go. And
those are my peeps, man. My land.
And all I can tell you, too, is it's a great day to pick up a little barbecue from Larry's good friends over at Burger
& Burger. Well, you know, it's funny that you said that, Damon, because, you know, this is the time of year where people are doing a lot of cooking and they are doing. I mean, it's looking at the Safeway, which is only across the street from us here, is like, I mean, it's like the world's going to end. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like between that and Super Bowl Sunday, it's crazy. But, yeah, I mean, people are going to be doing a lot of cooking and that kind of thing. All I would say is my advice would be this. You know, one, if you're having a bunch of people over, do an appetizer that everybody loves that's like you can put together in like 10 minutes. Okay. Got to have one appetizer. You got to have one thing that you can put together in 10 minutes. But then if you're done cooking, or let's say you have a bunch of people in the house, hey, you know what? You cook for a night and then you go Pig in a Pickle for a night. Pig in a Pickle does huge business in December because lots of people doing the exact same thing. A lot of people in my house, we're having a big feast. I'm cooking. Oh, but everybody's here for three nights and we're not cooking until night two. So why don't we go, we'll go barbecue sampler platter and get a bunch of stuff from Pig in a Pickle. So check them out. They're in Corte Madera and they're in Emeryville. They're opening in 2026 in Petaluma. I really feel invested in that because they've been sponsoring us for a while. We've been pitching it for a while, and I'm really glad to see them growing. So awesome. Awesome. Check them out, Pig in a Pickle. Also, thanks to Sleeper for sponsoring both Damon's show and this show. 49er football season all season long, presented by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. One-stop shop, you get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and of course Sleeper Picks. So use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description, terms and conditions.
By the way, every now and then, man, there's somebody in the chat who absolutely knows what they're talking about. Middleman Snacks right here. Salt it the night before. More salt than you would ever think, Larry. I want you to salt this entire prime rib. Heavy salt. You want it to all go in and out. Salt it when we're done with this show and put it in your fridge.
Not pepper, just salt?
Just salt. Pepper it. You can pepper it tomorrow. Salt it tonight. Salt your meat tonight. And then he's at like 4 or 5 hours. Here's the secret. Pull it 128 and then let it rest. It'll come up temp about 2-3 degrees while you're letting it rest. This is all very good advice. Quick sear the oven with a torch. It depends on how you're doing it. But the middle of that, and
I have a torch. I can torch.
That's the secret. Salting it is a big, big step in the process. Glad we got that out there. No salty 49er fans today. I mean, even
we got cooking questions in here, too, by the way. Look at this one, Damon. You're going to laugh at this one. I missed it. Here we go. Damon, Larry, have you ever tried to barbecue a lamb?
I've not done lamb.
It works. Yeah, lamb chops. Yeah, it works. Lamb is really, really good. Go ahead, Damon.
Oh, by the way, real quick, RIP Salty Balty. Oh, indeed. Rest in peace to Salty Balty wherever he is right now.
We created Salty Balty. Salty Balty was kind of like one of us. He was how we channeled our saltiest of saltiness towards the Giants when we were, at least I did. And this guy was so negative, and he was just Baltimore Dave. And then one day he was just sitting there on hold and he was so salty like 4 days in a row. And I'm like, you know, let's let Dave sit for a while. He's been a little salty recently. And then Sean Schwilling, who was on the board, changed on the call screener mechanism. He typed in Salty Balty, And I just kept calling him Salty Balty. And then it stuck. And then every time he called in after that, he was Salty Balty. So unbelievable. You know, he's no longer with us. He was a great fan, though.
Good old radio days. Absolutely, man. No doubt about it. Good times, good times. Let me get a for that right there, Larry. Yeah. Look, first time Purdy's thrown three touchdowns in a first half. He finished with a career high five. He's spreading it around everywhere. He threw touchdowns to a wide receiver, a tight end, and a running back there in that first half. They scored a season-high 48 points, their most since 2019. They gained a season-high 440 total yards yesterday.
Wow.
It was football, offensive football without resistance in almost both directions, right? I mean, the 49ers won that game with a grand total of like five plays. The pick six, obviously, from D. Winters was the exclamation point on the whole thing. The fumble recovery was at the Jair Brown with a punch out on special teams. And it was Tongas who went ahead and recovered it. I thought when the ball came out of Purdy's hand and Luke Farrell was just there to catch it, that was one of the biggest moments in the entire football game, because great field position for an offense that isn't slowing down in Indianapolis. That was a huge moment in this play. Very few plays turned this game, and the 49ers were basically on the right side of all of them.
Well, except for one.
One
play that was the greatest play of the night, and the Niners were on the wrong side of it because they just did not read the moment well.
They didn't challenge.
This one. And I'm going to share this one. This is unbelievable. This is Tongas.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. I'm going to put the volume down. But here's Tongas in the corner. Now, Purdy, this is an amazing play. Now, this play was a pass to Tongas, and it was an amazing toe tap by Tongas. But look at this play from Purdy's perspective. He's got three wides. It's 11 personnel. You got one back, three wides. He's in the gun. Here it goes. Drops back to pass. Get the sprint out to Robinson. No, he's looking, he's scanning. Moves to his left. Now he escapes out the back door. He's rolling to his non-throwing side, or to his throwing side, and he finds Tongas. Oh, it's out of bounds.
It wasn't.
But it wasn't, because now look at the replay here. And this is, look at this. Look at this catch. Look at that toe tap.
Drag.
Look at that play, man. It's like the play of the night. Shanahan did not challenge this, and he challenged another one that was absurd.
Yeah, that was only Shanahan's only bad moment of the night. And
they got to get a new challenger. But they got to get a new guy up in the booth who's advising, because Damon, they blew it twice. They blew this one. Now, granted, it didn't cost them the game. The game was decided. It was already.
Parag Marate. Parag is the guy deciding the challenges. What he was doing.
No, look, all I know is that play should have been challenged, but the very next play was the easiest touchdown in the history of football.
The one we just showed.
Oh, yeah. Christian McCaffrey won't be more wide open chasing his children in the backyard this Christmas during a flag football game. I mean, he was so wide open. So it was instantly, you know, write it off. Didn't matter. Didn't come back to haunt you. And let me just say this about McCaffrey, dude. If the V in MVP stood for volume, Larry, this is your unanimous MVP of the league this year. Anyone who wants to evaluate Christian McCaffrey through the prism of I don't like his rushing average is just a buffoon who doesn't understand football or what they're even watching. I mean, if you came out at any point in time this year with the McCaffrey is washed video, the amount of shutting the fuck up you need to do for the rest of the football season is complete.
Let's just be honest. He's had a horrible yards per carry. But
not on him, though. Not on him.
How much of it is on him? How much of it is on his line?
That was 100% on the offensive line.
This game was their best running game of the year by far. Not just in efficiency, but in totals. Also, when you factor in the opponent, how this was one of the hardest teams to run against in the league coming in, and the Niners ran. So this game should have been an eye opener to the rest of the league. If you thought the Niners, with Warner and Bosa out, were just a kind of a plucky little story that was just going to go away. You're wrong.
By the way,
they got a lot of momentum going right now. They got a lot.
Did DeForest Buckner play last night? Was he even out there?
He didn't look very good. I saw him, but he didn't look very good.
No, he didn't. You know who did look good? The two rooks in the middle, and we'll get to both.
Oh, wait a second. I was just about to show you. To me, this is a video metaphor of the 49ers right now. You want to see a video metaphor? There it is.
Give me a video metaphor
of the 49ers season in a nutshell. Okay.
Don't get us copyright flagged here, Larry. You're playing two NFL plays.
We can always take them out. We can always take them out. Here we go. This is your guy, CJ West. He's going to get combo blocked by this guy and this guy, and watch what he does. And to me, this is the 49ers season all wrapped up into one play.
This is just a big boy's back.
Think of the 49ers as CJ West. Think of the blockers as the adversity in the rest of the season. Here it goes. CJ West. That guy.
Double team, sack the quarterback. Oh. Right in his face mask.
Look at this. Two guys splitting it. Keep coming. Sack. That's the Niners. I'm so happy for that kid. He is a great guy.
Back home again.
Really good player.
In Indiana.
Look at that. He didn't even know he was getting combo blocked. He thought he was getting singled, and he just drove both those guys. Look at that. Right through those guys. That's the Niners. They've had adversity on the left. They've had adversity on the right, and they just keep coming. They just keep coming.
It was a big boy sack, and Alfred Collins has now forced two huge fumbles in the Rams game and last night. The two of them are absolutely where they need to be now that the price of poker is the high limit table. This is development. This is a huge feather in the cap to Kasurik and Saleh and all these coaches who have got these guys, I think, playing their best football at the time. They need to play their best football. That is the first sack of both of their careers. Collins had one last night. And let me tell you, shutting down Jonathan Taylor is why the 49ers won that game last night. Shutting down Jonathan Taylor in the run game is as important as Purdy's five touchdowns. They did an unbelievable job. And another feather in the cap to Tatum Bethune, who was in awesome on every single tackle of Jonathan Taylor. I don't want to say this. This sounds like heresy. This sounds like someone who is trying to deny, you know, Fred
Warner. Fred Warner. Is this a Bethune's better than Warner?
No, not better than Warner.
All right.
He is filling in better than anyone could have possibly imagined. And if you got to have Fred Warner, if you're not going to have Fred Warner the rest of the way, at least you got Tatum Bethune, because this guy is playing great football. He really, really is.
He's such a good dude. He's such a good dude. Like, if you walk up to him in his locker and you're like, "Hey, Tatum, you got time?" He's like, "Yeah, man, I always have time for you." And then he'll be like, "You know, what are we talking about today?" And, you know, the other day I did an interview with him. And then in the middle of the interview, I'm like, "You know, we've talked enough football. Let's talk a little Christmas. You have any Christmas memories?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, man. When I was a little kid, my uncle hit outside the window and he started going, ho, ho, ho. And I was a little kid and I thought Santa was coming to the door. And then after a couple minutes, I realized, man, it's just my uncle." You know, but I mean, Tatum is a great, great prospect. And, you know, talking about a seventh round pick, it's another nice little pick, man. Seventh round pick. He's now gotten a little bit more speed. He was key last night, man.
How about this? I don't know if the 49ers are in the playoffs this year without that seventh round pick. That's how important he's been filling in for Fred.
Isn't that amazing, dude? That's amazing.
Yeah. Getting back to CMC, though, because I feel like I've been beating this guy's drum more than anybody, and I love when football proves me right. 372 total touches so far for Christian McCaffrey this season. His 372 touches passed Garrison Hurst for the third most in single season franchise history. He is two touches away from passing Frank Gore and 15. He will have the most touches ever in a 49ers season by halftime of the Bears game. Probably.
Which also then makes you, I mean, let me ask you this then. Okay. Why is he still touching the ball with 5 minutes left up 41-27? Why are they still handing him the ball, throwing him the ball on their ninth drive? Why?
Because Christian McCaffrey is Kyle Shanahan's heroin. Brian Robinson Jr. is the methadone. The choice between heroin and methadone for an addict is no choice at all. You're going to take Lady H to the prom every single time you can. And he just can't stop. He cannot stop. He is addicted to this player because this player is the single greatest player he will ever coach in his career. Christian McCaffrey is on his way to being one of the 10 most prolific offensive weapons the game of football has ever seen. He is now on a list that is the list of all-time players, okay? Christian McCaffrey is the fifth player in NFL history to record at least five seasons of 1,800 or more yards from scrimmage. Walter Payton, arguably the single greatest pound-for-pound football player that has ever lived, not named Lawrence Taylor. Walter Payton.
I would agree with that, by the way.
Thank you.
Nobody was pound-for-pound strong as Walter Payton. Terrell Davis was close, but pound for pound, nobody was stronger than Peyton. And don't watch the 86 Bears. Go watch the 79 Bears. Go watch the 80 Bears. Go watch Walter. Before the Bears got good, that's all they had was Walter left, Walter right. Walter on Thanksgiving in 77, I can remember it like it was yesterday. He rumbled. He had an amazing day. Walter Payton, pound for pound, greatest football player of all time.
1,800 scrimmage yards. Walter Payton did it seven seasons in a row. There's a five-timers club. It's LaDainian Tomlinson, Emmitt Smith, Marshall Faulk, and now Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is walking shoulder with shoulder with not just the first ballot Hall of Famers, but like the inner sanctum of Hall of Famers. This is the greatest of the. These are the Hall of Famers that make the other Hall of Famers look like just guys. And that's
there's,
who Christian
there's McCaffrey levels. There's yeah. levels to this thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so Christian McCaffrey is on the level of greatest the game has ever seen or known. And that's why Kyle Shanahan can't stop handing him the football more than anything else.
Yeah,
Larry.
But I mean, it's still illogical. It's like, you know, it's the greatest car I ever had. Well, then why'd you take it off-roading? You know, it's there's a time and place for everything. And then it's like, dude, you're up 41-27. I don't care if you run Trent Williams. Run anybody but Christian McCaffrey. Speaking of Trent Williams, by the way, I don't know if were you going to try to go to something with Christian McCaffrey right now?
No, you go right ahead.
Okay. Here it is. Here's Trent. Listen to Trent after the game. This is a great cut, dude. I heard this late last night, and I'm like, oh, I should have put this on the post game.
Was this on the set with Van Pelt or no?
No. This is not going to get us.
Is this you can't fool this men.
This is the press conference. This is the press conference breakdown on Purdy. Here he is with sunglasses, by the way. Here it is. Do you not hear it?
I need volume, Larry.
Oh, wait. It'd be better with volume. So all sound bites are typically better with a little volume.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, when you're in that huddle,
I'm still
you know,
not
only one
do you not
voice.
Hear it?
I hear it.
Oh, you do hear it? Wait. You know what I got to do here? I didn't have the sound going to the right spot. There it is. Now I'll be able to hear it. Here we go. Try it again.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, when you're in that huddle, you know, it's only one voice speaking, right? And you got 10 grown men staring at you. And, you know, you can't fool grown men, right? And the confidence that he has in that huddle, no matter what phase of the game, you know, those long play calls, just getting everybody where they need to be. I mean, he from A to Z, he does it at a really high level. And I say it all the time, he's a godsend, man, for us to get him where we got him. And obviously he's getting what he deserved now, but, you know, can't even tell, he's still the same guy. Still the same guy from his rookie year. He's just a baller, man.
I mean, you know what? To me, Damon, that is the highest compliment. I interviewed... You know, you get very few opportunities in life to do these great moments in our media career. And sometimes you plan some of them, Damon, you really, really plan. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to book this guest. We're going to have this and that. Some of them pop up out of thin air, right? One of them that popped up out of thin air for me was I was on the practice field because I was the sideline reporter for the East-West Shrine game in the 99 season. And because it was at Oracle Park, you know, where the Giants play. And so I was doing the sideline because KNBR had the game. And so Agnew said, go down there and interview some of the players for, you know, a little thing that we're going to do in the pregame. I'm like, all right. So I'm down there, and all of a sudden I see Tom Brady. And I'm like, oh, Tom Brady went to Sarah. Oh, I liked him at Michigan. Okay. So I go up to him, hey, Tom, how you doing? Larry Kruger, KNBR. He's like, oh, hey, man, I love KNBR. And Tom Brady sat down, or basically stood in the middle of the field, muddy field in Stanford, and did like a 30-minute interview with me. And he was nobody, right? He was just a nobody. Not nobody, but he was the quarterback for Michigan. So, but I mean, he was the same guy that you always see. He had the exact same mannerisms, everything about the way he spoke, everything about how confident he was. He was the same guy in 99 before he got drafted to the Patriots, before he became Tom Brady, than he was after. And so is Brock Purdy. He is the same guy. And Damon, if there's anything that, if like anybody wanted to have a compliment of me or one of my children or any one of my friends like yourself, if they said, you know what I love about Damon, you know what I love about Kevin, you know what I love about what, he's the same guy every day. That is such a great compliment. Especially from one man to another. That means that you're not this roller coaster guy, that you're rock solid, then you're steady, that you can be counted on, that you can be depended on. You can be a pillar of strength that lifts up others. So I just, you know, that's what Tom Brady was. That's what Brock Purdy is. They're the same guy. And you just heard Trent say that. He's got paid now. He's got, you know, money. He's got big money. He can buy whatever he wants now. But guess what? He's the same guy as he was as a rookie. And he answers my questions with the same thorough approach. He's very sincere in his preparation. He doesn't dodge. He owns his failure when he fails. And we're sitting there, what about this? What about that? And he knows none of us can do anything close to play the game the way he's playing it. And yet he doesn't have any, hey, I know and you don't know, or what you little peon. None of that. None of it. He's just an absolute solid guy. And Damon, I think I don't know if they're going to win it this year, but I do know they are going to win it under Brock Purdy. I don't know if he'll be this year. May not be this year, but I really sincerely believe as we see this player entering what I would call the super prime, 27, you've been in the league a few years. Now you're not old. You're still young. You got 27, 28, 29. That's like the super prime, whatever Joe did, whatever Steve did, whatever you're going to do, you're typically going to do it there. Steve did it a little later. But that's where Brock's at, and I really believe he's going to get that ring. And I hope it's this year. It looks like he's playing his best ball right now. Now, can he lift up the rest of the team? Can the Niners be the best team in football? I don't know.
Look,
but they put on a show last night, didn't they not?
Brock Purdy can't go out there and play defense as well. He can't also rush the passer while he's throwing five touchdowns. And if the 49ers don't, you know, if they're not delivered to the promised land, how about this? I'm going to bet it's not because of the way Purdy played in whatever game that might be their elimination game.
That's fair.
He's easy to bet on. He's easy to like. It's very easy to see with your own two eyes how good he is. It's very easy to see with any attempt to study where he is against other quarterbacks and, you know, all the charts that Dave Lombardi puts out. I mean, Brock Purdy is off the damn page since coming back from injury on third down. he is like 30 yes. times better than any player in the league on third down since coming back from this injury.
And in the red zone. And in the red zone, he's playing incredibly well on third down, incredibly well in the red zone.
And look, not to pick a scab or pick on the low-hanging fruit right now, but when you talk about being consistent and controlling your emotions and keeping your wits while others lose their about you, others lose theirs around you, if you talk about money changing or not changing people, look at Brock Purdy, look at Brandon Ayuk. Right?
Yeah. And I don't want to pile on IU because there may be some, you know, mental health issues or something. I don't know what's going on there.
You know, maybe there is. Maybe there is.
I don't know. We don't know what's going on there. But yeah, you're right. It's a contrast. It is a sharp and dramatic contrast. Yeah. One guy is all about the money and what that money, you know, and his answer to everything is about the money. Oh, you want to cut me? I'm in a jewelry store buying baubles. Oh, you want to do this? You want to say goodbye to me? I'm driving my super expensive car as fast as I damn well please. When was the last Brock Purdy's making more money? When was the last time he's talked about money? He talks about winning. He talks about playing quarterback. It's all ball. He is an all ball guy. Here's one more quote on Trent Williams. I'm not going to play the cut. I'll just read it to you. It's an amazing quote. This is what Trent Williams said yesterday about Brock Purdy. He's resilient. He has a certain peace about him right now to where he can't get rattled. He's really confident in his ability, really confident in his game, and it seeps out of his pores, and the whole offense can feel it. He's our leader, and we follow him. I mean, Damon, that's what you want. That's what you want. You want your veteran. And by the way, you know, here are the highest graded guys on offense for the Niners. What I loved about last night and what I love about the Niners right now, you get the feeling that the cream is going to rise to the top and the guys who are really playing well are going to continue playing well. Here are the highest graded Niners on offense yesterday. Brock Purdy, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Colton McKivitz, Sky Moore, Christian McCaffrey. All of those guys are playing great. Absolutely great. So, I mean, it's, you know, and I've said it to you. I said it to you a couple weeks ago. I said it to you last week. I'm in there every practice generally. I take a day off here and there, but I'm there almost all the time. The rank and file Niner player, the core veteran, all those guys basically, and mixing a few more, Jake Brendels and these guys, the guys who have been to the Super Bowl and tasted overtime in the Super Bowl, Damon, there is a seriousness and an intensity and a focus. It's not verbal. It's very much unspoken. So you're not going to get it. You're not going to go down there and pick it up in a quote. You're just not. But, man, there is a focus and a seriousness and an intensity about the way these veterans who got so damn close to the Super Bowl are carrying themselves in the room right now. The room is an incredible room. It's a room full of the CJ Wests of the world, young, talented, enthusiastic, great young kids who are trying to get better and are looking at Robert Saleh, Gus Bradley, Kubiak and Shanahan, Boyer, and just being like, tell us what to do, leaders. You know, we'll do whatever you want, Chris Kocurek, Alfred Collins. I mean, there's so many of these guys. There's a room full of these young guys with tons of optimism. And then you've got the guys who have tasted it, and they know that it's rare to get another taste of it, and they are freaking serious as a heart attack. And the vibe, the combination, it's like storm clouds. It's like you got all these rookies over here and all this enthusiasm meeting all this veteran wisdom and intensity, and the thing is starting to gel, and it's coming together. I'm telling you, man. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it is. The Niners are coming together. There's no doubt.
Your leaders can't just be your coaches. Your leaders have to be out there in the locker room and in the team and in the huddle. And this team has the luxury of several leaders in the huddle. I mean, you and I at times have bagged on, you know, do you need to have the highest priced fullback, especially if you're not really going to use them particularly. Kyle Juszczyk.
He's a key cog.
He's coming on, and his leadership that he represents, that maturity, the tone in the room, he's a part of that. Trent Williams, this guy is the fourth offensive lineman to ever make a dozen Pro Bowls since 1970. He's now on the list with Bruce Matthews, Randall McDaniel, and Will Shields.
Wow. These are great. These are Hall of Famers.
This is one of the greatest. This is a modern Anthony Munoz. This is one of the great. This is Art Shell. This is one of the best tackles.
Better than Art Shell. I mean, he's better than those guys. I don't know if he's better than Munoz, but he's better than Art Shell.
If whoever you think is the greatest tackle of all time, He's not available that day and Trent Williams is playing, you will miss nothing. He will give you the same performance as the greatest of all time. He's special. Look, we got six Pro Bowlers announced today. McCaffrey, Kittle, with given the games that he's missed, that's impressive. Juszczyk going to his 10th Pro Bowl, the most ever for any fullback. Lorenzo Neal, what was wrong with your career, man? How come you didn't go to 10?
That's my guy.
Low should get into the freaking Hall of Fame, man. I hope it happens.
Well, there's no doubt. When I worked at 95.7, Low and I did the pregame, as you know, for 95.7, every pregame show, I would introduce him as future Hall of Famer Lorenzo Neal. And not because he cared, not because he wanted it. He's one of the most selfless guys ever. Because it was fucking true, man. Because he absolutely was a Hall of Famer. No doubt in my mind. And the fullback position is underrepresented in that Hall of Fame. They don't score touchdowns. But this guy blocked for LaDainian Tomlinson, Corey Dillon, Eddie George. Yeah. I mean, come on. There's all kinds of backs that became superstars. With Lo Neal was an unbelievably devastating blocker.
You got a handful of running backs who achieved the greatest seasons of their career through their own individual talent and the butt cheeks of Lorenzo Neal. That guy.
One of the baddest guys of all time. He used to be able to do the full splits, by the way. He was that athletic at 230 pounds. But yeah, six Pro Bowlers for the Niners on the 26 Pro Bowl roster. Actually, that's the most.
Larry, it's actually seven. Because look, if you're an alternate, you're still on the team, right? Sky Moore is going to the Pro Bowl as a returner, along with Luke Gifford, who's there on special teams, and long snapper John Weeks. And if we can talk about Boyer now, because it's easy to look at Shanahan and Sala and praise and fantastic job. Look at what Brant Boyer has done. I don't think there is a single more improved unit in football than 49ers special teams year over year. They were atrocious. 49ers special teams in 2024 was basically playing for the other team's benefit. Now the 49ers have a special teams that gets great field position, great starting field position, and is actually a threat to maybe score the football. And then kicking-wise, I mean, Eddie Pinheiro could have been a Pro Bowler this year. He might be their single biggest snub.
How's he not? He missed one kick. It was from 64 yards, and it hit the crossbar.
Good miss, Larry. Amazing. Good miss, if you don't mind me saying. I don't think I'd ever want
to tell the middle.
I don't want to see a team go into the NCAA tournament without a loss, because it's just like, oh, that's too much pressure. I'm glad that Eddie Pinheiro missed a kick, and that is the perfect kick to miss. Something that was so outside of his range, it was unfathomable, and he still hits the freaking crossbar. That's the best missed kick in 49er football kicking history, if you don't mind me saying, because now he doesn't have that hanging over him as he goes into, you know, the final two games of the regular season.
I'll challenge that. The best missed kick was the one that finally got the Niners to quit on Jake Moody and go to Eddie Pinheiro. Okay,
fair enough.
The Niners, though, here you go for Pro Bowlers. They matched the Ravens, the Broncos, and the Seahawks for the most. Trent Williams, 12th. Juszczyk, 10th in a row. Kittle, 7th. Future Hall of Famers. McCaffrey, 4th. And then John Weeks, your long snapper, makes it. Luke Gifford, one of your free agent signings at special teams, makes it. So first time multiple selections for the special teams unit since 2011. Sky Moore got an alternate. And you know what? Eddie Pinheiro and Saron Neal got snubbed, but they easily could have made it. And the players will head to Orlando for the Pro Bowl games, which will be coached up by Jerry Rice and Steve Young February 3rd, which is, you know, I think Super Bowl week, but it'll be in Orlando. So, you know,
Moscone Center, isn't that where the 7-on-7? I mean, who cares about the Pro Bowl? Shouldn't even be played. You shouldn't ask for another.
It should be a plaque. You know, and the Pro Bowl should be a designation. It should not be a game, an actual game. No. I mean, if anything, you should have, you know, give me a second college All-Star game and over the Pro Bowl. I don't need a Pro Bowl.
John Lynch,
more evaluation.
John Lynch, should be working on a 2 or 3 year extension for Eddie Pinheiro right now. He
or for Brant Boyer.
Oh, that goes without saying. How about
Brant Boyer? I mean, Brant Boyer should be carried in from the locker room on a freaking rickshaw.
So John Harbaugh was a special teams coach who became a head coach. What are Brant Boyer's aspirations?
You know, it's funny you said that, Damien, because I asked Kyle Shanahan, is Brant Boyer a head coaching possibility? And he's like, I love that question. I absolutely think that he is. He's got a presence in the room. He's a leader of men. You don't see a lot of special teams coaches even considered for head coaches. But you know what? They should be, because they do address, they do kind of hold, you know, run the meeting for special teams. They're leading the entire team through that meeting. So there is leadership capability. And Boyer's an old school throwback linebacker, but he's brought toughness. What I love about Brant Boyer is that Brant Boyer and Robert Saleh are both awesome coaches, and they do it. They're doing it, Damon, the exact opposite. Brant Boyer, when he sees a mistake on the field, he calls dudes out. I've heard Saleh say it. I've heard Boyer say it. I've heard players say it. He will call your shit out to your face. That's how he coaches. Saleh, on the other hand, knows that he's got a room full of C.J. West and Alfred Collins and Upton Stouts and guys that are really young, guys that are 22, 23, really young guys that are younger than Kev. And you know what he does? He's tough on them, but he explains what the expectation is, but then he's also puts an arm around these guys, because there's enough failure in the NFL to humble anybody. You don't need your coach to give you more failure necessarily. Sometimes you need that coach to be like, hey man, you're on the road. We're getting there together. You got to be a, so Robert Saleh is kind of like a positive beacon who puts his arm around young guys and helps bring this defense along, but then also says, hey guys, the expectation that I have is that you're going to be playing your best ball in January. And he said that about 5 weeks ago, before January was even guaranteed for the Niners. So, you know what? It was a message back then, and I picked up on it, that Robert Saleh was saying to his guys, I believe in you, because my expectation is you're going to be playing your best in January. Written into that statement is the statement that we're going to be playing in January. And that was not fait accompli. That was not for sure going to happen. So I love the two different approaches. Shanahan can be harsh, but he's honest. Boyer calls dudes out. And Saleh and Bradley put their arms around guys and are like, hey, let's go. And this is how we do it. And this is the best top-to-bottom coaching staff.
Well, look, Larry,
since the Harbaugh regime, for sure.
I think it's a real – it's a complimentary coaching staff, right? You can't have 3 saber rattlers. You can't have three arm around you guys. You have to have a little difference there. And they all really complement each other. And this is almost – look, I got a full house upstairs, Larry, and we got a lot of supers. Gosh, we got over 2,000 people on the room, and most people aren't even at work today. They've taken the week off.
Hit like and subscribe, by the way. Normally, you know, we've had some of these day after shows, you know, over 4,000 or 5,000 people. So if everybody could hit, well, let's do 2 things here. Let's get Damon over 50,000. Can you see where you're at exactly, Damon? Can you pick? Can you
49,612 is where we stand, Larry.
49,612. Let's get him to 4,700 at least for sure right now. Everybody hit like and subscribe here. Hit like and subscribe on Damon's channel. It's called The Palouse. If you haven't been there, go to it now. Hit like and subscribe. And then everybody hit like and subscribe. And, you know, in here, that will drive, you know, probably even more, you know, drives the algorithm. More people find the show. That's basically it. When you guys all hit like, it just sends out a beacon inside of YouTube and more people find the show. So if you could do that, we would appreciate it. And if you would do me a favor and go over to Damon's channel and hit like and subscribe over there, and let's build him to 50,000 as fast as we can. I'd appreciate it.
Larry, you just convinced 3 people to do it. We're now at 615, 49, 615. So thank you very much. I appreciate the endorsement. Again, we appreciate everyone being here. The support, you can really feel it. It's been fantastic. And this has been, I think, a show that's important because it's balanced in a world where sometimes you got way too complimentary or way too negative. I think we got a couple guys who understand what they're looking at because they've been looking at it for years now, and hopefully the audience feels that way too. I know that there's always a group of your fans that freaking hate me. There's always a group of my fans that freaking hate you, Larry, and that means it's working. That means it's working. So
I've had people, you know, there's times where I'll cut you off and be like, "You're so arrogant." And I'm like, all right, come on. I've got short attention span, but I'm not arrogant. It's more just a short attention span.
I get people who say, "Why do you let Larry talk so much?" I said, "Because we're not going to commercial break. We got all the time in the world. There's no reason to say you less of you, more of me." Blah blah blah. Anyway, it's great to have everyone here. It's going to be a great holidays, and look at what we're getting from the 49ers. And I just kind of, before we start and getting into supers, and like I said, I got
a great stat I got to throw you. That's amazing.
Okay, you give me your great stat, then I am going to officially kiss this coaching staff on the forehead the way it needs to be kissed.
Okay, so the first one comes courtesy of my friend Kyle Posey from Niners Nation, and he tweeted this out. He says, "What will get lost in the 49er win will be how the offensive line controlled this game from start to finish. Brock Purdy was only pressured 22% of the time, and the running backs averaged 1.69 yards before contact. Both of those numbers are second best marks this year for the offensive line." So quick shout out to the O-line because, you know, Buckner was coming back. It's a pretty good Colts line. They had played very well the week before, and the Niner O-line really showed. But the stat of the day has got to be this one. Brock Purdy has won 29 games as a starter in the NFL, in his NFL career. 29 games. Of those 29 wins, 23 of them have been by double-digit margins. 79.3% of his wins have been by double digits. Okay.
So someone will immediately criticize him. Well, he doesn't have a lot of come from behind wins because he's not in a lot of come from behind situations.
Right. Yeah. But listen to this though. So of his 29 wins, 23 have been by double digits. So 79%, almost 80% of Brock Purdy's wins as a starter in the NFL have been by double digits. No other NFL quarterback with at least 25 wins has had three quarters of them come by double digits since quarterback starts were first tracked in 1950.
Wow.
So he's got 79%. Nobody's got even 75%. So you know what? I get it. And I'm a bottom line guy myself. There are certain things that you're not until you are, right? You're not married till you're married. You don't have kids till you have kids. And you're not really a great player. You're not really a true franchise quarterback, in every sense of the word and in a complete definition of that, in my opinion, until you win a Super Bowl. I love Lamar, but I don't think Lamar is a franchise quarterback until he wins the Super Bowl. I love Josh Allen, but I don't think Josh Allen is a true franchise quarterback until he actually wins the Super Bowl. Stafford, franchise quarterback. Mahomes, franchise. Montana, Young, Brady, franchise. You're not a franchise quarterback until you do what the ultimate goal of the sport is, win the Super Bowl. You're not a franchise quarterback if you win the Super Bowl, but you're not a franchise quarterback until you win the Super Bowl. So I'm very much in that Brock Purdy is a great player, and he's got a ton of potential. But he's not a franchise quarterback yet until he proves it on Super Bowl Sunday. And he came very close, but he's not there yet. But those numbers right there, though, Damon, you know, for the people that want to jump up and down and say that Brock Purdy's not this and not that, that right there is pretty much hard to go against. You know, that's hard to go against. He's done some things that very few, or in some cases, nobody else has done. By the way, this year, Brock Purdy, he hasn't started enough games to be qualified yet, but his QBR, which is the ESPN all-encompassing stat, his QBR is 76.0. that right now, if he was qualified, if he had played, I think, one or two more games, would be number one in the NFL. Drake May's at 73.4. Dak Prescott are 73.0. They're atop the list right now. But if Brock Purdy, once he qualifies, he's not just atop the list, he's atop the list by a wide margin. Right now, really this year.
Again, it's the amount of impressive he has been. If you're still left unimpressed, your opinion on the situation is pretty invalid at this point. Like, you don't thank you, football.
Well, there's just an agenda. There's some other thing going on.
Right. At no point in time will football change the way you feel about the football player, which is ridiculous if you're covering the sport of football. By the way, quick question. How do we get to Damon's channel? Thank you, Khalil, for asking.
Bruce. It's Damon Bruce. It's
Damon Bruce Plus. But if you search the Plus, it's not going to take any. Damon Bruce Plus is all you put. Just type in Damon Bruce on YouTube, and I think you'll get there quickly.
Well, you know what? We'll do a little. You know how you're really progressing in the YouTube algorithm?
How's that?
When you hit the search bar and you type in D.
A.
David Lombardi.
No.
D-A. David Lombardi, dance classes near me. D-A-M. Damon Bruce.
Oh, there we go. We were one M away. Thank you, Larry.
D-A-M. You just type in damn. And you get Damon Bruce. Dude, that's work, dude. That represents your work. Because 6 months ago, you'd have to type in Damon and then space and then B before Bruce would come up.
I'll take
now
it.
Now you type in D-A-M and you come up first. So I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into doing these things, and you got to stick with it.
To talk about some franchise, just real quick for franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Dan Marino was a franchise quarterback. He never won a Super Bowl.
He was. He went to a Super Bowl.
John Elway was a franchise quarterback before he won those Super Bowls.
Makes a franchise quarterback? I'm saying a franchise quarterback in the truest sense of the word.
When I say franchise quarterback, what we're saying is this guy will not be displaced due to injury or contract. He will be retained as our starting quarterback as long as he can play the game. That, to me, is the definition of a franchise quarterback. Obviously, that lack of a Lombardi trophy is why Dan Marino is left out of the all-time conversation. Had Dan Marino just won one Super Bowl, his one Super Bowl would equal the number of Super Bowls that Montana or Mahomes had won. There, you will never in your life see a better arm on a quarterback than on Dan Marino. Never. Like, I will trade you Brock Purdy for Dan Marino right now. And I love Brock Purdy. Dan Marino was the fucking man, but he just never had that total team around him.
He did have the total team around him. They got their ass kicked in Super Bowl 19.
Right, but that wasn't.
They had a great team. He had a great team. I mean, they were great. I mean, they won the conference. They just didn't. He didn't. Yep. He got beat by Joe Montana.
Now, Clayton Duper. They had some really good players.
AJ Dewey and Kim Bocamper.
Yeah, I haven't thought of AJ Dewey in 30 years, Larry.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, they had dudes, man. Matt Moore, and they had just had dudes.
Before we go to the Supers, let me just give you this is my final point basically of this show and maybe this year, because we're going to do a wake up on Friday, right?
Friday. Yes. Yes.
We're doing a wake up on Friday, and that might be the next time I'm on YouTube because my family's in town and I really want to spend an awful lot of time. I don't know how many, I get emotional. I don't know how many, Christmases I got left with my mom. So this is Christmas time now. When this show ends, I am in Christmas mode. Cover me in eggnog.
I got to ask, you know, and if you don't want to divulge or whatever, but that's fine. But what, you know, you got little guys. What was the gift this year, man? Let's just say this, dude. You know me. I'm a kid at heart, and I love Christmas, for not the gifts that I get. I love, because I got a lot of gifts as a kid. I love Christmas for the gifts that I give. Love watching. And every year, I can remember when I got Kev, I went down to a bike shop and I found a trike. You know those tricycle races where they have people racing? And in the, they use these really good tricycles. So I bought this really good tricycle that they use in like races. I mean, it's like, it was heavy duty. I mean, it still exists at my in-laws' place. So some of the grandkids have been able to enjoy it. But I was so fired up. My wife was like, "You're so excited." I'm like, "I am. I got to see him open this. I got to see him open the trike." You know, so was big. I got Kev one time a skateboard that I just was so pleased with. But what is the gift this year for Jack Rossi?
So every now and then, the show is upstairs on the TV because the boys. Okay. Let me just say this. There will be a very special SCOOTER for Jack.
Nice.
And let me also say that
maybe a book on spelling as well.
Every LEGO dream a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old can have will be coming true. And there are also an awful lot of TRAIN. Oscar loves TRAINS, and so that is going to be addressed, and we're very, very excited. This is peak Christmas. You want to talk about, you talk about your super prime years. I got a 6-year-old and the 4-year-old. We are in super prime Christmas is magic years. There's no even doubting old St. Nicholas's reputation. There's no questions about his legitimacy. There's no one's trying to do the, well, how does he deliver a present to everyone on earth math, which is where your doubt starts creeping in. It's just all magic.
You gotta swim technique, the logistics. Santa is everywhere. Are you kidding me? That sleigh, that thing is unbelievable.
This is Christmas super prime. Yes, JP3, man. It really, really is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You know what we used to do? We'd go to church, and then like we'd be leaving the church, and my dad's dad, I think, he might have been like Episcopalian. I don't think he was Catholic. He didn't go to church with us, and he'd stay back at the house and get everything set up, and then all of a sudden we'd be leaving the church, and my dad was so classic. He grabbed my arm and be like, "Did you hear that?" Did you hear that? And dude, I was just where? What? What? I do hear it. I hear it. I don't even know when I stopped believing. It was probably, 20, 25, somewhere in there.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, the spirit of Christmas is real, man.
There you go.
Talk about is real, not real. The spirit of Christmas is real. And I hope it comes into everyone's home, no matter what. Who you pray to, if you don't pray, whichever way your door swings, may you have a wonderful Christmas season with friends and family.
That is well said. Well said.
Now, wait. This is my last point. This is one of the greatest coach seasons in franchise history. I'm not talking about Shanahan's tenure. I'm talking existence of the San Francisco 49ers in the NFL. This is an all-time coaching job that proves Shanahan is, I think, right now the single best coach in all of sports without a title. I think he is the one. He is the Phil Mickelson before he won a major. I hope he gets it soon. He should already freaking have one. It's a shame he doesn't, because this truly is the best coach in football without a Lombardi trophy. This is not debatable. Troy Aikman told you last night, if he could start an NFL team, he would hire Kyle Shanahan. Also, this proves that Robert Saleh is singularly the most qualified head coaching candidate, and holding on to him is going to be extra hard. Hopefully he doesn't want to step into a bad situation for a boatload of money. He'll wait to the right situation.
Well, what about Damon? Here's the other thing too. There's no cap on. We all know what the NFL is. It's a $27 billion industry, and it's growing like by leaps and bounds. It's got to be the healthiest industry in America. These coaches mean so much. There is no cap on what you pay your head coach or your assistant coaches. I don't understand why somebody hasn't looked at this scenario and said, "Hey, Robert Saleh, you're making whatever, $3 million as a defensive coordinator. You're going to make whatever, $10 million as a head coach. Here's $10 million. Stay. I mean, why?
I mean, that's the thing. There's. I agree. Shanahan's got to be in that $15 to $18 million range, right?
I don't know what he makes right now. We can look that up.
Bring it to 12. Bring Saleh to 12. Make Saleh the single highest paid coach in football that isn't a head coach. You know, they say Andy Reid's making like $20 million a year. He's the highest paid coach in football, right?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not that he's the highest paid, but is he really making 20?
I think so.
So Shanahan salary is reported to be around 14 annually.
Okay. So that's, and yeah.
He's one of the top paid coaches in the league.
Bring Saleh to 12. Keep him.
I mean, why, you know, now granted it's money, but let's just say Saleh got offered, I don't know, let's say the season ends and the Titans offer him their head coaching job and the Raiders do as well. And maybe there's even a bidding service for him, right? And they're going back and forth. Why, if you're, you know, you look at the Raiders and the Titans and like, is Cam Ward really it? I don't know. Do the Raiders have a quarterback? No. So can I win there? Am I going to get another job? So like, if I'm him, you know, if the Niners came and said, I don't know, maybe not 12, but let's say they offered him a 2-year deal for $20 million with bonuses that would take it to 30 if he won another Super Bowl or some crazy thing like that, where, and then he could hang out for 2 years and still, you know, potentially wait for like John Harbaugh to retire, wait for Andy Reid to retire, you know, wait for Sean McVay to hang, you know, wait for one of these better organizations to have an opening. That would be the route. And if I don't understand why more teams don't do that. I'd love to know what the Chiefs pay Spags and Taub, their special teams coordinator, Taub and Spags, their defensive coordinator, because it's got to be a lot, right? They've got to be paying them huge money. They've been there forever.
The only thing Saleh would do by staying with the 49ers is increase his own reputation and value, and it will all pay off in the end. Like, there's, he can't go wrong either way. If he puts himself on a bad team, it'll be for a bag of cash that makes everybody understand why he made that choice. But I don't think Robert Saleh, I don't think his Jesus is a big bag of cash. He's taken that trip to the New York Jets and he saw how bad that worked out. You don't want to attach yourself to bad ownership and bad situations. The money will be good no matter where. Wait for the right situation. I think Saleh's seen enough on the field of battle to believe that. I really do. But if I could just get back to this one more thing, and the job of coaching staff is done here. This team is sitting on 11 wins with the prospects of a 1 seed with 0 pass rush. I don't know how you do that, but they've done that. This team has 11 wins, and Nick Bosa has now missed 12 games. Fred Warner has missed 9 games. Brock Purdy missed 8 games. George Kittle has missed 5 games. They haven't played a single down with Brandon Ayuk all year long. They have a rookie class that for the first time is just starting to dress guys who were drafted to be part of this year. They haven't even really even played yet. The 49ers are basically back with last year's team playing much better football, Christian McCaffrey being in the middle of it. This is one of the greatest coach seasons in the history of this franchise. They should not be here. There are so many metrics that say there's no chance of them doing anything in the postseason. But guess what? They might, because this thing is wide open, and an unexceptional team will win the Super Bowl this year. And the 49ers are as unexceptional as any of them. So go ahead and be the single best worst Super Bowl champion of all time. I will take it. The team that wins the Super Bowl this year will be forgotten to history. They will never be considered one of the all-time greats. This is just a pedestrian year in terms of true NFL greatness. There's not a great team out
there. It depends. If the team that wins it goes on and then it becomes a dynasty, then this will be remembered.
Well, yeah,
but
sure.
If the 81 Niners were definitely remembered, but they weren't one of the great teams of all time, but they're the first of the Niners dynasty.
Right.
So like, if Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl this year and they go on to become this great dynasty, history will remember it. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. This is not
in the vacuum vintage. Of one season.
Yeah. This is not a vintage. There's not a vintage team here. By the way, Nick Bosa is third on the 49ers in sacks. He only played three games.
That's a problem. That's a problem, by the way. Let's go, Niners. Let's get to that quarterback a little bit more. All right, Larry, let's hit these supers. I can already hear the rumbling upstairs.
Okay, here we go. And we should tell everybody we're brought to you by Habas Law, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Omar and Tarek Habas are great guys. If you've been injured and you want to win, there's only one call to make, Habas Law. 1-800-INJURED. Visit HabasLaw.com on the web, HABBASLaw.com. Habas Law, they will fight to make it right. They're very charitable. They're very rooted in the community. Thank you to Omar Habas, Tarek Habas, and the entire Habas Law team. And they bring us our supers here at the end of the show. We've got 21. So thank you to all of you guys. And thank you to so many of you guys who have been so generous throughout the year to Damon and I in this, you know, on these shows. We really appreciate you guys. Let's hit him right here. Here we go. Fuji, good thing Morstead isn't being paid per punt.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. I wonder if he actually is loving this. As a punter, I mean, like, you want to get out there and play, but maybe you don't. You know? So, yeah.
What if you were so good you'd never punted at all, and the guy's just making salary and doing nothing? Dale says, we finally fucking recognize just how important special teams is. Can Kyle? Special teams is great right now. We win with this D because of special teams and offense. Let's go. Kyle Shanahan said something last year. He said, guys, I don't try to win the game on special teams. I just don't want to lose it on special teams. And I think at the end of the year, and I haven't asked him about this, but I think either somebody internally or maybe, you know, somebody said to him, hey, Kyle, you know what? It doesn't sound good. It right. sounds like you're just giving lip service to what some people consider a third of the game. Let's get real about our special teams, and let's do everything we can to turn it around. And they did. They hired a coordinator. They invested in free agency. They invested in the draft. They invested. And look at the difference.
Well, while Kyle was not wanting to just lose games on special teams, he was losing games on special teams. So, you know, he did not hit that target. I'm glad that he's readjusted his bullseye because special teams is hitting its target this year.
It's just another area of the game that can potentially lift you up, and it's lifting them up. Dale says, no more BA talk. F him. That quitter can go to the Jets or Raiders and be a number three. Betty's kicking himself for stopping that Pats trade. What a piece of shit. I will say this about BA. I think still the Niners are going to be able to trade him. I know there's going to be a lot of people like, what? No way. But if you look at the way the contracts, there's a great article out, and I'll see if I can post it later, but there's a great article out that it kind of explains this whole contractual situation, and there still are advantages to BA to be traded instead of being released. So he has a reason to kind of play nice with them and go along with a trade because it's in his financial best interest, and I think he'll figure that out by the time it comes down. So this like, you know, we're done with BA. You know what? BA is going to net the Niners a pick. Watch. It's going to happen.
Harry Johnson
says, Dame smoking meats and grinding. Unrelenting.
Thank you, Harry.
Unrelenting. Fuji Simeon. Larry and Damon, side hustle, a holiday cooking hotline. Yeah. Be like, remember the Seinfeld where Kramer was like, want to do movie reviews?
Movie phone.
And he's like, if you want to know about this movie, hit one. And then you hear the person makes them, they go, they hit, you hear this boop. I don't know what number you just pressed. If you want to hear this one, press two. Why don't you just tell me what movie you want?
The name of the movie. Rochelle.
Awesome. Why don't you just tell me? Oh, that was classic.
Wake up cooking hotline. Larry speaking.
You know, I used to go to my late mother all the time and ask her. She was just an incredible cook, and she would just give me amazing advice. Fuji Simeon says, Larry, did you feast on the seven fishes dishes? I don't even know what that means.
The feast of the seven fishes? It's a very Italian thing.
Oh, no. I did not. I guess I should, but I haven't. Joseph Ernberg in the house. He says, oh, and by the way, Ernberg, the other day was like, Niners are going to get their doors blown off. Jonathan Taylor's going to rumble for 250. Remember that?
What a great job they did on Jonathan Taylor last night. That's why he won the game.
Absolutely. Ernberg says, Ton just needs to play more. Great win, Super Bowl bound. Yeah.
He should have another touchdown, that's for sure.
Dude, Tonjes and Kittle together? Has anybody thought about that? Two tight ends together? Seems to be doing all right for the Rams. Dale says, I feel fine with Tonjes. If George can't go or is limited, that boy could be a developing dog. There's Damon. $15 for you. Merry Christmas, dude.
Thank you, Dale.
Dude with the D-O-O-D. Yeah, I, you know, if they have to lean on Tonjes for a week or two, I think they could be okay. I really do. We have this one from Tommy Huxley. Lair, you called the run game to go off. Salute. Yeah, you know, the run game is not static. You've never arrived. It's the way you play, the day you play. But yeah, the Niner offensive line is very, very maligned, and they feel maligned, and that's a good thing. I want my offensive line to feel maligned. Niner Mafia. Brock was the first Niner quarterback since Steve Young to throw 5 touchdowns in a game. So Steve Young did it against the Chargers in Super Bowl 29. Was that the last time it happened?
So probably because that's a postseason game, it technically doesn't count in the record book.
So Steve did it in the regular season too?
No. Brock Purdy is the first to throw for 5 touchdowns in a game since Joe Montana threw for 6 in 1990 in Atlanta.
Ooh, I remember that day too. He burned Charles Dimry like constantly in that game. I think he might have burned him for like 4 or 5 of the 6. We got this one. Oh, we got that one already. We got this one from Dale. Okay, one more. How many Niner records reread with these 3 names? Joe Montana, Steve Young, Brock Purdy. He is legit. Fuck the haters.
Well, and look, we all hope that George Kittle is okay here. George Kittle is an all-time 49er. He became 5th on the all-time franchise touchdown list last night. He is now 3rd behind only Jerry Rice and T.O. with 100-yard receiving games. He now has 22 in his career. T.O. had 25. Jerry Rice, God bless him, he had 66.
Jesus. Ridiculous. Niner Mafia. Let's talk about
that's the only other guy who is in the pound for pound conversation with Walter Payton.
Oh, I mean, Jerry was amazing. Niner and Jerry played in an era where passing wasn't as prolific as it is now, and he still owns all the records. Niner Mafia. Let's talk about Luke Farrell catching the batted down pass for 3 yards. Huge. You know what? On that pass, on that play, I thought maybe there was Purdy with the elbow recurrence
because that was bad. So here's the deal. It's a good thing that he wasn't hurt in that moment for sure. That was not a pass because Luke Farrell does not have last night a reception. So that was a lateral that he recovered basically.
It was. Yeah, it was because he caught it behind him. What a tale my thoughts will tell. Bears rank very high in fewest turnovers and excel at turnover creation. Big test for the Niners Sunday night. Turnovers may decide the game. Yeah, no, I don't think there's any doubt about that. The Niners, though, I will say this, if the Niners offense can just percolate anywhere close to what we saw last night, I don't believe the Bears can keep up. But turnovers are going to be big in that game. Absolutely. 49ers are going to have to take care of the ball. And that's just not in that game, really, the rest of the way. If they want any shot at all, turnovers has got to be key. Jason Lutz says it's week 16 and Walter Nolan has 3 more touchdowns than Pearsall. Collins and West look like bulldozers at times. What are their ceilings in the coming years? Well, I think Collins and West are starting defensive tackles. Now, I don't think either is ever going to be a major sack man. They're more run stuffers who've got a little bit of scoot. I think the 49ers still need to find another couple rushers on their front line. Mikel can play inside and outside, but, you know, maybe another outside guy, maybe another inside guy. But they could use – those guys are great run stuffers. Like, the Niners couldn't stop the run last year. We saw it last night. When push came to shove, they stopped the run. And they stopped the run a lot with Alfred Collins and C.J. West. And that was a big emphasis and point of focus of this last draft. I think the next draft, they'll continue to build that front. It'll be more pass rushers and more guys who can get to the quarterback. But, yeah, and Walter Nolan is a really special player, by the way. We got this one from Fuji. For holiday, you usually go to prime rib, turkey, or a roast, or it's a question mark. You know, this time I was debating prime rib versus maybe like ham and turkey. So I got a spiral ham, but I think maybe we'll put it in the freezer and do that on like New Year's Day, maybe. And so we're going prime rib on Christmas and ham slash turkey on New Year's. So that's the call at the Kruger compound. The Electron Pusher says, Larry and Damon have been doing this for years. They know what they're doing.
Thank you.
That was probably in relation to somebody saying, you guys don't know what you're doing. Boxing fans, we need someone to step up like how Demo did in 2022 when he was considered a liability that whole season until he stepped up when it mattered the most. That's a great one. That is a great one. That is true. The 49ers are going to need some guys to step up. And maybe that's someone that's Pearsall.
You know what? Someone that guy's going to be? Maybe, you know, maybe it's
who do you got?
Upton Stout. Upton Stout's coming, dude. He played great last night.
And I like that one. I'll go Jair Brown.
Daryl Luter Jr., I would like to see Chase Lucas get some more snaps, please.
He was hurt.
No, Chase Lucas, I believe, was a healthy scratch last night, wasn't he?
No, well, but, you know, he had that hit in the Titans game where I thought it looked like maybe he lost feeling in his hand because he had the hit and then he was, like, doing this. He's kind of shaking it out, and then he sat there on the ground, and I don't think he came back in. So I don't know. My guess is it was injured.
I hope he's back in there. I like Chase Lucas a lot.
Oh, yeah, he's a good dude. He's a great interview, too. We got this one. Fuji, what is the show schedule for Friday post-holiday? We're doing it.
We'll see you on Friday for Wake Up, and then we'll be back Monday morning after the Bears game.
Yeah. That's a Sunday nighter. Yeah. Yeah. We'll be there Monday morning. Probably a little later, maybe 10 on Monday morning. Jake says, push back on the franchise quarterback talk. You can be a franchise quarterback without a Super Bowl. You're a dynasty quarterback with a Super Bowl. I kind of disagree. I don't really. I mean, I hear what you're saying. You know, I think you have to. Let's just say this. You got to go to a Super Bowl, man. There's no such thing as a franchise quarterback that doesn't go to a Super Bowl. You're just a good quarterback. You're a very good quarterback. You're an excellent quarterback. You're not a franchise quarterback if you don't go to a Super Bowl. You know, it's. I don't think so. I mean, it's like saying it's like you're. Are you the best student in your class and you don't make the honor roll? No. I mean, there's some baseline things that you have to do. To me, that is go to a Super Bowl. I mean, it's really win a Super Bowl, but I think to me, go to a Super Bowl would be a good spot to kind of park my car at. But I hear you. Hey, different opinions for different people. And Marino would be the ultimate answer.
Hey, Joe Burrow, right? Joe Burrow is into a Super Bowl here early in his career. So, you know.
I mean, here's the thing. It's like somebody would come to you and say, Krug, so is Eli Manning a franchise quarterback, but Dan Marino isn't? Well, I hear you. I hear you. I would say that would be my barometer for franchise quarterback is, you know, win a championship. And if you want to lower the bar to get to that game, it's about history. So there's so much history about the NFL in that game that it's like, if you don't get in that game, I mean, Boomer Esiason was awesome for years, put up crazy stats. He's not a franchise quarterback, really. He was the Bengals franchise quarterback, but you know what I'm saying? JP says, send this to the Niners to keep Sala.
There you go. That should get it done. Thank you, JP.
Robert, I got a super last week for $1.99. Will you stick around?
Just slide over $1.99 in an envelope and just wink at him.
Petty as fuck says, Upton Stout had his best game so far this year. I'll say this. Upton Stout, I think, is the Niners' best rookie because he's everything. He's super tough. He's super violent. And he's super smart. And when you're tough and violent and smart, ooh, that's like the holy trinity of defensive traits. Lyle Bolyard, defense has to tighten up and play better against playoff teams. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you, Lyle. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. We got this one from Fuji. Purdy deal is looking better than Tua's or Burrow.
Purdy's deal awesome, is already devoid of sticker shock. His deal is already a rank and file, good starting quarterback NFL deal. And the next time the next time someone's signing a new contract, his will even fall down that list of expensive contracts. This is not a contract that will prevent the Niners from doing business around the rest of their football team. It isn't.
Okay. A couple weeks ago when Burrow played really well, a lot of people threw this out. Would you? Not when Burrow played well, when Burrow was bitching about Cincinnati. Right. Oh, he wants out. Oh, would you trade Brock and three number ones for him? And I'm like, no, I wouldn't. Now ask that question today to Niner fans. Would you trade Brock Purdy and three number ones for Joe Burrow? No. I would not. Some people would. Greg Gargazi says,
maybe Purdy and number one, but not three.
Not three. Let's not get crazy. Greg Gargazi says, late here, guys. Any word on Kittle? Merry Christmas. Kittle, you know, obviously had the low ankle sprain early. He tried to give it a go. You could see on the sideline that he was desperately trying to keep it loose and limber, and it was just too much. So he couldn't come back. And the Niners also were at a point in the game where I don't think they needed to bring
all
him back.
I can say is he looked,
he's going to try to give it a go.
He looked concerned, and there is some concern that every 49er fan should have. Obviously, this is a very important player, but I'm going to tell you this. If that were a devastating injury, he's not walking out on that field doing post-game handshakes and all this. Like, he did not have to go back to the locker room. That's where all bad news goes. So hopefully good news staying on the sideline means it's not serious.
Well, and they do have things that we don't have. Hyperbaric chambers, you know, infrared rooms, cold tubs, hot tubs, stim. You know, he'll be walking around with something. They'll accelerate the rehab. But you know, it's gonna be tight. It's gonna be a tough one. I'm sure he'll try to gut it out because he's a tough guy. Sean says Kyle is 1-for-4 on challenges. Who's briefing him? Yeah, that whole process, the same way they went head to toe on their special teams and kind of did a re-eval on like what they were doing. They need to do that on their challenging system.
They should hire me. I'm perfect in the shouldn't challenge that pretty much contest.
Actually, here's the problem. This is what would happen if they hired you. So, Kyle, what happened on that? Okay, so I went to my challenge guy, and you know, Ozzy had a bad accident, and so Damon was really stressed. He didn't get it right, and then all of a sudden, Ozzy's going to be the blame for the Niners, and I would put that on Oz.
There's no salary cap on what they can pay me, so hopefully it'll be generous enough where we can hire a nanny for game day for Ozzy, or at least put him in bubble wrap.
Fuji Simeon, hopefully everything is okay with Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, great.
Screw him. I mean, seriously.
Here's the thing. He might be, you know, the mental, this, that, the other thing. He could also just be an asshole. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Who had a good 2025? Who had a great year last year? Isn't everybody stressed the fuck out right now? Isn't everybody like just pushed to their absolute limit of budget and patience and everything? Like everyone just had a particularly rough year. No one but that guy is speeding past the place that he just worked going like, murr. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, I would say grow up, dude. Grow up. Don't personalize all these. You know, it's a good argument for players and for all of us. Don't personalize business disagreements between two sides, and you're not one of them. Freddie said, Merry Christmas, fellas. Thank you guys for all the reporting and entertainment over the years. Let's get ready for this playoff push.
Thank you, Freddie.
Appreciate you, Freddie. Propo says, do you think Kaepernick's on-field decline in 15 and 16 was mostly due to losing his coach, or was his skill set never going to work long-term?
I think it was a combination of an awful lot of things. Some of it was him. When you have nothing but a revolving door of offensive coordinators and head coaches, you're asking for it. Chip Kelly is so exposed as an NFL entity. That certainly didn't help him at all. So there were a lot of reasons why it didn't work out for Colin. He is responsible personally for some of them, but definitely not all of them. No man is an island to his own career in this league. You are going to have a career that fluctuates around the circumstances that surround you.
You know, it's just one of those things. I think it really has to do with your passion. Brock Purdy's passionate about playing football. He's passionate about finding answers to defensive questions for every play. That's what he's all about. Kaepernick had passion to be a political activist and to be a voice of a movement. And it's admirable, but it ain't football. And there is no such thing. I'll just say this. Go go do a job interview for a job that you are abundantly qualified for, okay? But in the job interview, don't talk about the company or what you can add to the company. Talk about a cause that you have near and dear to your heart that has nothing to do with anything. Go in, you got a job interview and they're serious about widgets, and you go in there and you start talking about how you're all about Greenpeace and save the whales. Guess what? You're not going to get the job, because they're going to be like, we really like Damon. Oh yeah, I love how passionate he is about Greenpeace. Yeah, but you know what? We do widgets, and I don't know if he's passionate about widgets. It suggests that you have multiple interests, and employers don't want to hear that. They don't want, nobody wants, do you want a Renaissance man to cut your hair, or do you want a barber?
Right.
Do you want a Renaissance man to rebuild your carburetor, or do you want a mechanic?
What I'm looking for is someone who is too legit to quit. That's what I'm looking for.
That is awful. That is awful. Joseph Ehrenberg, Bears and Seahawks are going to sober us all up. There you go.
Maybe. Ehrenberg. Maybe.
Ehrenberg. Negativity. Laser Lax 2.0 or Laser Lax 20. Larry, love you. Oh, my God. He's dropping $100 here? That's $100. I'm a New Yorker, a Mets, Knicks, Niners fan since 1991, growing up on New York radio. Grant Cohn has always presented as familiar to me. I've noticed a lot of Bay Area folks don't appreciate his style, but you do. I loved you both. Can you explain this to me?
Well, first of all, I'm from upstate New York. Neither Larry and Grant are both West Coast total pussies. That should have come in on my side. That should be my $100, New Yorker, New Yorker.
There we go. First of all, I'll say this. I think Grant, you know, is a little bit misunderstood. You got to remember this. It's a show. At the end of the day, this is a YouTube show. Damon and I hosted radio shows. It's a show. And Grant is a great showman. Okay, so that's really what it is. And that's why he's highly successful. Is there a trolling aspect of what he does? Sure. But that's also kind of what we all kind of utilize to resonate with people is that, you know, we all could be considered trolls to some degree. I'll just say this. With stuff that really matters, I think Grant is a good dude. And I understand, and believe me, I understand, and Grant understands why some people love him and why some people hate him. But you know what? There's an awful, Damon and I know a lot of guys who were in radio with us. And guess what? Nobody ever hated them like they hate me or hate Damon. And nobody ever loved them the way that some people love me and the way that some people love Damon. So it is, you know, the opposite of hate is an opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. And people that are kind of bland, you're kind of indifferent towards. So the job is to kind of not be bland and to elicit a response. And like, you know what? A great response is, and Damon and I have gotten this many times. I've seen people come up to Damon and say this. I've seen people say it to me. Hey, man, I love you, but I rarely agree with you, but I agree with you today. I agree with you a lot, but I really don't agree with you today. You know what? And that's a compliment. That means that, you know what? Because we're not running for office. And I'm not putting out stuff like, I'm not looking to build a consensus. I'm giving you my honest opinion, and I don't give a shit if it aligns with the masses or flies to, in the face of the mass opinion. I'm just going to give you my opinion. And all I would say is enjoy all these shows, enjoy Damon's channel, enjoy my channel, enjoy Grant's channel, and take what you like out of it, but don't get too caught up in one of our negative opinions, because guess what? I'm going to say it for everybody. We could be wrong. We've been wrong before. I used to have a saying at the end of my radio show. Damon had one as well. My saying was, Larry Kruger, often wrong, seldom in doubt. And it was just my way of saying to the guys, hey, you know what? I'm going to come strong with my opinion every day. But I'm walking out the door going, hey, I could be wrong. You know, I could be wrong. And you had one like that as well. Yours was sports don't build character and reveal it.
It's a John Wooden saying that I think is the most universal saying in sports. We will find out who you are when the pressure is on you. That's when we will find out who you really are. And sports is a pressure cooker. And I think that's why we love it. Speaking of cooker, I'm under pressure to go make some brunch here, Larry. So we got to wrap it up.
We got two more, I think, here. We got Fuji says, does DK Metcalf win his appeal on his two games?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You cannot have any ambiguity for NFL players striking fans. He will serve his two-game suspension. The league can't afford not to suspend him for two games. Whether it was merited, doesn't, what he said, what he didn't say. DK Metcalf had to walk 20 yards to go to that situation. Those 20 yards were ridiculous. He should have never been over there in the first place. Yeah, that's why he's suspended.
Yep. No question about that. Nothing to add there. Fuji Simeon says Purdy gave Toyotas to select group of fans in need. I did see that. I mean,
veterans, that's the right move. Parents who needed vans and trucks to move their children who have, you know, crippling diseases. Just Brock Purdy's good people. He's really good people. You should be proud that he is a quarterback. And here's the thing. Even if he were bad people, he's a pretty damn good quarterback. So he's what the Niners need. He has full command of this offense, and that was on full display in Indianapolis. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you.
Yeah, Robert Knight, we'll finish on this one. Love and hate you both equally. Awesome.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, man. Hey, guys, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you and all of your fans. One of the really coolest things, somebody sent me a thing the other day. Actually, it was Anthony Catania, my sponsor, who sent me a picture of our show, and we were on his big screen TV in his living room. And believe me, Damon and I don't take it, lightly that you're welcoming us into your home, you know, when, or maybe your car, maybe your phone. And we just appreciate all of you guys, all the support, all of the number of people, I mean, the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that, consume our content and follow us on a regular basis. Thanks, man. And tip of the cap. And Leon drops this one on the way out the door. He says, Merry Christmas, Krug and Damon. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Damon. Why don't we finish like we finished so many wake ups with a little Ralph Balky, finish here at the end.
So, it's the Feast of Seven Fishes, which is good because I'm pescatarian. We don't like to eat the real red meat. So, Kruger, I don't know if I can join you for your prime rib, but I will say right now, seven fishes. You probably put all seven fishes into the Miata. So I'm a seven fish guy.
That was Ralph Barbieri. Ralph was incredible. He had so much vacation built up that he took his last vacation day. He took his vacation starting for Christmas on like December 2nd. And then he'd be like, all right, it's the end of the show. And I know a lot of you guys have weeks and weeks before you'll be calling this vacation, but I've got a lot of time. Me and Tate are going to see California and some staycation stuff. And we got some things that we're going to do. So Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah.
Oh, my God. And then, of course, Trent Baalke would say, hey, yeah. All right, Juwan Jennings can catch. All right. Juwan Jennings can block. Okay. All right. But is he AJ Jenkins? Not so much.